AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend of league action. It's as you were at the top with Celtic, Rangers and Aberdeen all winning on a busy Sunday. There were big wins for the likes of Motherwell and Dundee United and a first of the season for Kilmarnock. A much improved Hearts performance, but they stay bottom going into the international break. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna.
Well, I kept finding myself at the weekend saying the phrase, quite remarkable, Gordon. You know, Kilmarnock, 2-0 down after 86 minutes at Dens and win 3-2, quite remarkable. Aberdeen yesterday, 13 wins in the spin under Jimmy Tillane, quite remarkable. And they still can't be top of the league because Celtic keep finding a way to get wins. 88 minutes, Nicholas Coon at Dingwall, quite remarkable. Yanis Hadji waited 14 months for a return to the Rangers first team, red card after 35 minutes, quite remarkable. And a pundit trying to rock a white roll neck sweater on live national television on a Sunday night. Quite remarkable, Marvin Bartley.
It was very, very warm, Roger. I'll have you know that, a woolen sweater that I had on. But yeah, listen, it was a brilliant weekend of football. My jumper aside, I totally agree with you. And obviously the 8 p.m. kickoff as well, which was quite a strange one. We managed to avoid the rain. So listen, Rangers got their win. But yeah, brilliant, heading into international break now.
You had your white roll neck on, I had my jammies on before that kicked off. That just felt all sorts of wrong, I have to say, yeah, on a Sunday night. So well done if you braved it out there. But here we are, another Monday, and don't let this opportunity pass you by, because we're heading in to another international break. So this is the last chance to reflect on some league action for a while. 01419511025. Where to start then? If we do work our way back from yesterday, a bit of a redemption story for Václav Černý, was it, Rangers fans? He has taken a lot of stick, missed the sitter of all sitters on Thursday. He'd been arguing with the fans, and then he goes and scores a double. So how do you feel about his contribution? What about Yanis Hadji? Seriously, Scottish football produces scripts like no other. Look at that absence that Roger alluded to. Comes back, looks good, sets up a goal, and then gets sent off and will be suspended. So how do you look back on events at Ibrox last night? How was the performance? Who stood out, good or bad? Give us a shout. Aberdeen, they just keep winning. It was a good Hearts performance, funnily enough, but how good are Aberdeen at the top? Can they do it? Can they keep it going, and for how much longer? And then Celtic fans, you're used to a bit more comfort, I think, in the league this season. So why was it not quite as comfortable yesterday? Again, maybe you just have to take these on the chin and get 3 points no matter what. So how do you look back on events in Dingwall? Of course, there was a handball penalty, a rarely seen, and we don't see them too often, retake, goalkeeper off his line, that sort of stuff going on there. A few talking points from Saturday in terms of controversy. Silla sent off for Dundee. Hearts went down to 10 yesterday as well, of course, didn't they, as well? Big wins, as we alluded to. Kilmarnock fans, come on, you've waited a long, long time. How does it feel to be up and running? Is that the start of something? Motherwell fans, absolutely flying as well. So give us a call on 01419511025 right now. And to put you in the mood, result of the weekend from you two was?
Aberdeen. I've gone with Aberdeen. Like you said, keeping up that winning run, it's been a fantastic start. Well, the perfect start for them. Hearts, I know they're bottom of the league, but it's an extremely difficult fixture. And to turn it around the way that Aberdeen did, I've gone for them, result of the weekend.
Okay, a home win against the team bottom of the table. That's fine. I don't judge.
Yeah, you're getting no more Motherwell joy out of me, Gordon, because I'm going to go for Kilmarnock. If you're two
down,
away from home, with 4 minutes to go, you haven't won in the league all season, and you can somehow contrive to win 3-2, then you deserve the result of the week. It's been a long time coming, but well done, Derek McInnes.
So you go to Easter Road, win the game, fourth in the table.
You've asked us our results. We don't care about Motherwell right now.
Right, whatever. Okay, listen, you can make bad decisions all you want. I can only try and advise you. Goal of the weekend. Marvin?
Czerny, first one yesterday.
Yeah, nice.
Brilliant finish. You know, he gets a nutmeg, comes inside, and like you said, bends it into that far corner. A man who's had plenty of criticism since the Lyon game, but he dealt with it extremely well. It's difficult being a player, let alone playing for Rangers, but I felt he dealt with that well yesterday and got two goals.
There's only one goal to be had, and the man is currently still on an open-top bus going round the Airbus train station.
Now we're talking.
Celebrating the first time I've ever seen a volley direct from a throw-in. What a weapon that is from Kofi Bellmer.
Well, I thought you were calling Andy Halliday a weapon.
No, not in his absence. And what a volley, and what a Morelos-style celebration, as if the Hibs fans couldn't hate him anymore. Well done, Andrew.
I mean, it's not that I'm not delighted to see Marvin, but bad timing for him to take a night off, I have to say. We've waited all season for him to do something productive.
He's still signing autographs outside for Par.
He goes and scores, and yeah, I'm not sure about the celebration, I have to say, but I think it's a Hibs thing, isn't it? I think maybe
I was turning up today no matter what anyway, whether Andy was on the show. Yeah, I was coming to see him, yeah. Pay him a visit.
Hard lines though, Marvin. I know you're a big,
cheers,
Hibs fan. Right, that's goal. What about Howler? Who is on the receiving end of the Howler all the weekend?
George Grant at Hearts for me, getting sent off and the way he got sent off as well and how quick it was, you know, between the two bookings. So yeah, that was a huge Howler. I think end up costing his team at least a point within that game. So yeah, listen, not a very, very good weekend for him.
Well, on Saturday night, I thought it was going to take something special to beat John McCracken and his pink goalkeeper's outfit and the way he let Matty Kennedy's first goal slip through his hands. But fair play to Yanis Hadji. He came back and he managed to get the Howler of the Week. It's a really poor challenge on Benjamin Kimpioka. It was a red card. Philip Clement admitted it. And I can probably just about agree with Philip Clement's explanation that it was a challenge of a guy who probably hasn't played at that level for 14 months and wasn't up to the pace, but doesn't excuse it and he'll have to serve the suspension.
End on a positive. Who was the top man, top performer over the weekend? Go.
I'll go with Duke for the impact that he made. Okay. He's had a difficult time. Obviously, listen, he tried to go AWOL or whatever it was at Aberdeen. Didn't turn back up for this season. He's came back, he's apologised, he's worked hard in training, he got his time on the pitch and he impacted the game. So to deal with that, you know, he deserves massive, massive credit. So yeah, he's my performer of the weekend.
I'm going to go for Matty Kennedy. I think those two goals, the first and the third, and that remarkable Kilmarnock comeback. He's in a rich vein of form at the minute. He's playing very, very well. And you wonder if that's going to be the result that sort of kicks Kelly on to where they were last season.
Okay, 0141 951 1025. Let's go. Let's get stuck in on the weekend's action with Justin, who is a Rangers fan. The late shift for you last night, Justin, what did you make of it?
It was. I was a late shift because I was with Marvin last night as well. At the back on side, big shindig, so it was good to see him there.
Even hold on, you two up. Went out after that game last night?
No, this is before. It was a charity event that started at 12.
Ah, right.
I arrived at 1 o'clock.
You had me worried there.
Yeah,
right, okay,
no,
of course
before.
You did. You were late. Well done to everyone who turned out and supported the charity. What about the game last night, Justin, then? What stood out for you?
Yeah, the reason I was kind of touching the phone in was I felt really sorry for Hadji. I've got to be honest. After waiting the time that he did, red card, yeah, technically it was a red, yeah, but I think he's tired, and I think for most of the game he was putting in more of a shift than probably he was maybe trying a bit too hard at points to impress. But I think for the time that he was on the park and setting up the second goal, I think you can see why he should have been in for the start of the season and what he can offer compared to some of the other players at Ibrox. The sending off, I feel gutted for him. I genuinely do, because he's not that kind of player. But I genuinely can't wait to see him getting more games under his belt, and hopefully after the setback that he's got that he can, because I think he'll be a big, big player this season if we can get him properly fit and playing. I'd wanted to see what you guys thought.
Yeah, always happy to start with the positives then. Either he comes on at half time and sets up a goal. Did we get a glimpse of what the Rangers fans are hoping he can offer?
Yeah, I think the Rangers fans and also the manager, you know, me and Roger were speaking off air about, you know, he wants to play forward passes. And I think that's a big thing that Rangers have been missing this season. There's been a lot of possession for possession's sake, not many risk takers, and Hadji does that and sets up the second goal. So something that he's going to definitely bring to the team. I agree with Justin. I think he was trying too hard, but anybody's going to do that after the amount of time he's had on the sidelines. He just wants to play for the football club.
It was August 2023, the last time he played for Rangers first team.
That's what I mean. That's a long, long time. You know, he's given up, you know, money, if we're to believe the reports, you know, to actually play. So it shows that he's willing to do everything he can to impact that football club on the pitch. So, yeah, listen, I think they'll be a massive player for them once he gets up to speed. But, you know, missing that amount of football, I've been there before myself when you have an injury and you're out for 6 to 8 weeks, let alone, you know, that amount of time. People say he played in the B team. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's a totally different level of football. So, yeah, listen, give him a good few weeks, but I'm sure, as I said, he'll be a big player for Rangers.
Justin hits on an important point, Roger. All of this has to be... Everything is relative to what else Rangers have got.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone... You don't have to say that you think Yanis Hadji is a world beater or you think that he's absolutely outstanding. You just have to feel that he's worth mixing it with Tom Lawrence and Barami and Cherny and McCausland and so on.
He improves the squad without doubt. I covered his last game. It was like the League Cup tie against Morton, August 2023, as you say. It's so long ago, I was covering the game for Super Scoreboard with Alec Ray.
Whatever happened to him?
Exactly. So it's a timely comeback. The phrase which used to me last week was goodwill on both sides made it happen. I think Rangers went a bit, Hadji went a bit, but when he played the ball to Cherny for the second goal, he suddenly thought, my goodness, the Rangers midfielder actually playing an incisive pass forward, because for all the qualities that Diomande or Barron or Raskin or Dowell have got, that's not in their locker. They can't play that ball to Vaslav Cherny to put him in for the second goal. And to have a player with that vision and the ability to play the pass, that can only make the Rangers squad better.
And yet, Justin, it's one thing on the night, but you now have to sit out, suspension, and that frustration just, I'm sure, will grow from both sides, really.
100%. I think you can tell the kind of player he is. He plays with passion, he plays with heart. And he puts everything into his kind of performances. I think last night was the tackle itself. I think it was a bit of tiredness. I think it was a bit of, like I said, trying too hard. But he's not that kind of player. I mean, surely there are certain points where, and some of the tackles that went in that went away, you would think the referee would be using a bit of common sense at some point. But obviously, as I say, technically, as I said,
you just can't have that though, Justin, can you? Because I know, and you want to do this because you like Yanis Hadji and stuff, and that's fine. But if Benjamin Kimpioka does that to Yanis Hadji, and the referee exercises whatever this common sense is, you're on here tonight wanting him sent off, aren't you?
Listen, 100%, it's a red card. I get it entirely, but I mean, I think at certain points we've forgot the football's a contact sport, you know what I mean? But as I say, technically, yes, it is a red card. I just think bigger picture, but I'm gutted for him. I genuinely am, because as I say, I don't think he's that kind of player. I don't think he's got a nasty streak in him like that. But as I say, I'm just good to see him back in the Rangers jersey. I'm glad to see him back in the Rangers jersey, to be honest. I think.
Well, that is where, you know, the rules are such now. I've been saying this obviously for years that, you know, your intent or whatever, they quite rightly stripped all that out, and it's all about, you know, the outcome of it. And it's maybe slightly different from most straight reds for a tackle. The serious foul play ones have got that real excessive force that we always talk about, where someone comes lunging in and you're looking to see if they're off the ground and all that sort of stuff. It maybe didn't, it didn't have elements of that, but you'd be hard pushed to look at it and say that it wasn't endangering an opponent, would you? And it doesn't need to tick every single box.
No, it's 100% a red card. You know, and listen, I have to back the referee, because I think he gave a yellow at first, and it's only when you see, you know, from a different angle how bad the tackle actually is. You know, I'm not saying he's meant it for a second, but, you know, any player that makes that sort of tackle has to be sent off. You know, there's no two ways about it. I do think it's an element of the game moving a little bit too fast for him at that moment in time. He's probably trying to catch his second wind, and as I said, he's not played for a long time at that level. So it is a lunge. Does he mean to do it? No, but the way he catches Kipioka has to be sent off. The referee got that completely right.
If they dodge him, is seeing that, Roger Hannah, it's a red.
That's what you call poacher turned gamekeeper, Gordon.
It's got to be. Him and Andy Halliday are the worst. They don't usually think anything, any tackle is a red.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, that one is.
Yeah. They dodge him. I like that.
I've been kicked out for health and safety reasons, actually, from the Masters. I'm fuming.
Let's hear from Philippe Clement on Yanis Hadji. He acknowledges the challenge, but doesn't believe the tackle was malicious.
I had the feeling that there was not much intensity, and I had a really big doubt about the red card, but if I see the images, it's clear red card. There's no intensity in the tackle, but it's more clumsy. Yanis didn't have any intentions to tackle in that way. I cannot be disappointed in him because he's just in the building in that way, training with us. But I don't think it will be a really big, big suspension because you see it's not with big intensity.
And there we go. He does say in amongst that, that's a clear red card. Yeah. So nowadays when managers will do everything they can, you see it week in, week out, they'll do everything they can to maybe argue the decision, deflect away. He's given it a little go with some of the detail, but ultimately, even he said, you know, clear red card.
Yeah, and listen, you can't think anything else when you look at it. And Marvin was right, you know, when you saw it live, you weren't sure. When you see the replay, you know, the VAR sees, there's no doubt it's a red card and he had to go.
Justin, where are you on Václav Černý? He's barneying with the Rangers fans and missing all sorts of sitters during the week, but, you know, a double last night, how important could that be?
A lot of Rangers fans that you speak to, I mean, he after what we've seen, with dummy spitting session, and I don't really care what anybody says, that was exactly why he was hooked 2 minutes later to come on in the game. That the pass back, and it wasn't necessarily directed at him. I think it was position in that game at Ibrox, and the ball got played back away instead of going forward. And he threw his dummy at the pram and was gesturing to the fans. That never goes down well, no matter where you're playing. And then missing the sitter. I mean, let's be honest, anybody can miss an open goal. Van Bossen done it famously as well. So you don't hold him against him for that. He should be finishing it, but you know everybody can miss a sitter. But I think the jury's still out a wee bit on him. He showed flashes, but throwing a dummy out with the fans and gesturing to fans, you know, that doesn't go down well with, I think, any team. And I don't think Rangers fans have kind of warmed to him. I think he's still got a few people to win over, to be honest.
Yeah, these things don't tend to disappear in one night, Roger, but do you get the sense he needed something like that?
Yeah.
I know we do judge quickly, but you also got that feeling that he was maybe in the balance of, if you do start taking the huff with the fans, and then a couple of bad performances, it can be hard to sort of pull back from that.
Listen, you're not going to beat the supporters. You're not going to beat the supporters. If you get yourself into a situation where it's you versus the fans, you've lost. And Černý needed it badly. I thought he reacted badly at the Hibernian game. The miss against Lyon is breathtakingly bad. And sometimes you don't come back from something like that. So I think it was hugely important that Philippe Clement threw an arm round him after Thursday night. And it was hugely important for him to get those two goals yesterday. It surprised me, his reaction. He's an experienced player. He's a Czech international. He played at Euros. He's come from Wolfsburg in the German Bundesliga. You know, he should know what pressure's like at big clubs in front of big crowds. So I'm surprised at the way he's reacted when he's been criticised at Rangers. But maybe yesterday's going to be, you know, a late kickstart for his Rangers career.
That type of goal, is that starting to look like that's his strength, Marvin? Because the one at Hampden against Motherwell was quite similar, wasn't it?
Yeah, very similar. And that's the thing, you know, when you're watching the game yesterday, you're thinking, do not let him inside on his left foot, because you know he's going to get a shot away, and he does have the quality to do that, because keeper has no chance. You know, he bends it, he uses the two defenders that are coming towards him, and he bends it into that far corner. So yeah, listen, I think that's what Rangers fans can expect. You don't expect him to be dribbling past three or four players, because he doesn't really have that turn of pace, but he's a very, very clever player, and if he can get goals like he did yesterday, as Justin said there, win the fans over.
01419511025, if you call now, we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Battley are here to take on the weekend's biggest talking points as put forward by you. So let's dive back in with Gordon in Inverkip. Take it away, Gordon.
Hi guys, second time caller. I phoned recently. It's a bit standard, the refereeing. I watch both. I'm a Rangers fan, but I watch both the Old Firm games, and I thought some of the refereeing recently, I feel, has improved. But yesterday, and I thought it went back the way. Start with the Rangers game. Referee, middle of the park, Rangers are attacking, goes to attacking midfielder. He blocks the ball accidentally. They normally stop, play a free kick for the attacking team. Didn't happen. Tavernier takes a free kick, blatantly hits the centre back. He heads it over the bar, doesn't see it. What are his linesmen doing? Nobody saw it, but it's clear in the television, it's clear as day in the TV that it was a mistake. Nothing happened. Then move on to the Celtic game. And I know that Chris Boyd was going tonto about this, and quite rightly so. Kuhn seems to suffer from dementia. That lad forgot that he got a booking. He then runs to the crowd. Yes, they got a fantastic goal with 2 minutes to go. Quite rightly so, he's elated. But it's clear, it doesn't matter if it's a Celtic player, Rangers player, you run to the crowd, you're on a booking, they spill onto the fans spill onto the park, it's another booking. Automatically red card.
No, it's not automatic anymore, remember, worth bearing that in mind, there is it. Not to say you're wrong, you're more than entitled to think it should have been, but it's not really like that anymore. There's a bit more discretion allowed.
That should have been given, and it wasn't. It was allowed to play on. There was a foul in the Ross County player, and that the game played on. That was wrong.
Which one, sorry?
In the middle of the park, just before Celtic scored, there was a foul, and it wasn't given.
I suppose, like, this is why we're here, and yeah. Gordon's entitled to these. I'm noticing a bit of a theme, though. It's always been just one man's view that we have got enough on our plate without worrying too much about a corner that. A goal kick that was given instead of a corner, or a free kick given 70 yards from goal. And I know all incidents can lead to certain things. I do get that. They do feel like quite minor ones. Nicholas Kuhn's maybe got a bit. That's maybe a bit more of one you can get your teeth into. Roger, should he have been booked? Were you surprised he wasn't?
You know something? I'm not exonerating Nicholas Kuhn one little bit. When things happen at that end of the ground at Dingwall, and I've been there and seen it myself, you'll have been the same, Gordon. It quite often happens. Remember Kevin Nisbet scoring for Aberdeen early in the season, 99th minute, 97th minute. Aberdeen fans all spill on. I've seen Rangers fans do it. I've seen Dundee United fans do it. It just seems to be what happens at that end of that ground.
It's funny we didn't get any calls complaining that Kevin Nisbet didn't get booked. Funny how that works.
I'll bring
city.
It right up to date. I was at the Smyza on Saturday, St Mirren versus Dundee United. Possibly the worst game of football you'll ever see. Emmanuel Adegboyega scored the only goal to put us out some of our misery, and he went behind the goal, was enveloped by the Dundee United fans behind the goal.
Did he get booked?
No, he didn't. Again, it's at the discretion of the referee. So the referee, I think Ross Hardy was the referee at St Mirren on Saturday, and didn't book him. So it is at the discretion of the officials. It's difficult to, you know, it doesn't bother me, you know, as long as it's done reasonably safely. Great pictures in the papers this morning of the steward fishing Nicholas Kuhn back out, if you like. But it didn't bother me that it wasn't booked.
Yeah, no, I'm in total agreement with Roger. You don't want to see players getting, you know, second bookings or bookings at all when you're scoring a goal and late on in the game, and, you know, a bit of emotion overspills. And yeah, fans shouldn't come on the pitch at the end of the day. It's not totally down to the players. So yeah, you know, I don't think that, you know, a second booking in that incident was warranted. Talking of the James Tavernier one, I'll be honest, we were at the game, and we were actually outside when it happened, and he hit the free kick, and we didn't see that there was a deflection at first. Only when you see the TV replays, as Gordon says, you see that a defender does head it away. So again, I don't like to protect referees, but they only get one view of that. It happens really, really quickly. Does the referee mean to make a mistake? No, he doesn't. He has made a mistake there, but I think it's, you know, it's one of those things that's innocent.
I mean, I think, Gordon, I'll be honest as well. I watched the game, and when I saw Nicholas Kuhn, I thought that it could happen. But, you know, Rogers even just rhymed off a couple of incidents from this season, from recent weeks, even some in the same stadium. It's not like players are always getting second bookings for that, and Nicholas Kuhn's somehow escaped.
I didn't realise the rule had changed, though. You've clarified that. I didn't realise it had been changed. So
yeah, do you know what? I always like it, Roger. Obviously, we had our new friend Willie Collum on the show with you, Marvin, a few weeks ago. It's always good when you hear it in referees speak, because it saves people taking my word for it. I don't really mind. Did you know it's Bobby Madden who quite often does this? Went on Instagram last night on the Nicholas Kuhn one. I'll just read out what he said, and that way you can blame him if you disagree and not me. He said that nobody had ever wanted cautions for that. It was removed as a mandatory caution over a decade ago. Referees' discretion, common sense were asked for. The only consideration is if it causes a safety risk. So the guidance says if you celebrate with your own fans, you don't enter the crowd, and there's not multiple pitch incursions, no caution would be issued. Look, you can make the case. I do wonder if geography, if that's the right, or stadium infrastructure, if I can't believe we're going down this road, plays a part in the sense that if you are at Hampden say,
and you go and
climb the boards, and then whereas at Dingwall you're sort of there, and as long as you don't go too, is that where you draw the line, sort of thing?
You remember a former friend of this show, Craig Beattie, running behind the goal at Hampden with his shirt above his head.
Yes.
If he did that in the same area in Dingwall, he'd be halfway down the high street. there is no tighter ground in the Premiership. The fans at both ends are right on top, but it's when the away team scores a late, when you've seen it before, Celtic do it, Aberdeen do it, Rangers do it, and it's easy. It's easy for the players to come in and the punters to come over.
Let's thank Gordon for his time tonight on 0141 951 1025. What are your thoughts on the game itself? Celtic fans, it's not as comfortable as you've had it in recent weeks, I suppose. Inevitably that would happen at some point. Was there anything missing, anything lacking? Was it in the back of Europe, or do you just get these days sometimes? I don't suppose many of you will grumble with the handball itself, but I do love to be surprised on that front. A bit of drama with the penalty as well, wasn't there? Kasper Schmeichel coming off his line. So 0141 951 1025. Let's ask Craig in Knightswood what he's got for us.
Hi there, guys. No, it was just to talk about the Rangers game last night, 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think Vashaf Kearney obviously scored two goals. One was really great, but I don't think that it's going to appease the Rangers fans from the poor performances he's put in.
Not just the start of it, though, Craig. I mean, he can't do much more last night, can he? Is it not just about trying to then?
No, last night, but I don't think it makes up for the miss against Lyon.
Well, I mean, it would. In one hand, like, you know, these things happen, and then the other, they don't, because it was particularly bad. But would you hold, like, is it not more of a, I thought maybe if you want to hold like the sort of overall, not attitude, but the thing with the fans, I get that. If you feel that overall the body, would you hold a sort of a one miss against a player?
No,
like
it's
that?
Very difficult to do that. You know, some of the best strikers in the world you look at have missed gilt-edged chances. It happens in football. Even going back to the incident he had with the supporters, you know, having been a player, and obviously I didn't play at the level of kind of a Rangers or Celtic, but I understand sometimes you are frustrated at yourself, and then it just takes something from, you know, to hear from the fans that grumble, and you do. You shouldn't do it as a player, an experienced player as he is. He shouldn't have done it, but he's doing his utmost now. He scored two goals yesterday. The Lyon miss, he can't go back and put it in the net. If he could, he would. He can't do that. All he can do is be judged on what he does going forward. And, you know, as Roger said, you know, scoring two goals yesterday goes some way to making that back up. He can't go back to the Lyon game. They, you know, it has to be let go. And I think the Rangers fans will. If he continues to score goals and assist in games, I think, you know, that the fans will forgive him quickly.
It gets back to what you said at the top of the show about Yanis Hadji, Gordon. See what you like about Yanis Hadji. He'll improve that Rangers squad. He may well improve the Rangers team. Craig's making the point, you know, about Czerny. If you took Czerny out of the team, you'd probably weaken the team. You know, Cortez isn't there. He's out for
a period. Long term now, yeah, is the news last night.
Out for a period of time.
Just quickly on that, just because it just came up. It's a bit of an issue that for Rangers.
Very much.
Obviously, in the short term, because he's not available. But look, he was on loan last season. They brought him back. There's an obligation to buy this time.
Yeah, yep.
Not really going to get to see him. Because I feel like he's a player Rangers fans have high hopes for, but we've not really seen him when you think about it over the couple of spells.
Absolutely. And this is the point I'm making about Czerny. You can't have Cortez ahead of Czerny because Cortez isn't fit. I'm still not convinced that Ross McCausland is a better option than Vasilav Czerny. So Czerny, for me, if you were picking your first choice Rangers team, you know, they've got Motherwell in a semi-final in a few weeks' time. They've got a big trip to Kilmarnock after this restart. They've got a big trip to Aberdeen before the semi-final, midweek before the semi-final. Big games coming up for Rangers. If you're picking your first choice team for those big games, Vasilav Czerny would be in it.
Not for you, Craig, or?
I don't know. I think Ross McCausland showed quite a lot recently that shows that he can compete with Czerny at the moment. I know Czerny had that great performance last night, but I'm not sure. I think Czerny and McCausland are kind of on an equal par at the moment until Czerny proves it over a consistent amount of games.
Well, you were there, Marvin.
Maybe does it in Europe.
No, let's not. I disagree. You know, Ross McCausland is a very, very good young player. I think he's an impact player, though, for Rangers. You know, Czerny, for me, is ahead of him. I thought yesterday he performed extremely well. he's a winger that does need runners off him. He does need forward passes early, that you saw what Hadji fed him. So, you know, sometimes in an attacking play, you're only as good as the players behind you. And as Roger said at the start of the show, if you're not getting that ball played forward nice and early when you can be in 1v1 situations and it's going side to side, then all of a sudden when you do get it, teams can double up on you, it makes your job a lot more difficult. So he does need other players, as I said, like a Hadji, who can play that ball forward, and he showed what he could do last night. I don't think Ross McCausland, with all due respect, is on the same level as him at this moment in time.
Let's hear a bit more from Philippe Coman on Václav Černý, since Craig brought him up. The jury's still out, I think was the phrase. But of course, the manager praised him after he scored a bit of a redemptive brace last night.
I'm really happy for him because he was really down after Thursday by missing that chance. And he felt really responsible in that way because he knew it was a really important moment in the beginning of the game. If you can score, you have a totally different momentum of the game. So he's experienced and he talked about that with me. So it was a really open and good talk, but he didn't lose any of my confidence in that way. He showed what I wanted to see. So after the disappointment, to react and to keep composure and not starting to doubt. So I'm really happy for him with two quality goals.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. You're more than welcome to tweet us as well. I always like to speak to you, so give us a call and we will speak to you next.
Win £275,000.
I forgot we're trying to give some money away. See, you two are just sitting back and relaxing, forgetting that we've always got big prizes to give away. How would you like to win £275,000? It says on here maybe you want the holiday of a lifetime for the October break. Come on, where are we going?
Mars.
The moon. 275 grand. Pay off the mortgage, new cars, holidays, the lot. It should cover that and more. Text yes to 61025. Text for £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm on Friday. There's no phrase, no amount to remember. You don't even have to pick up within the five rings. Just answer your phone and the £275,000 would be yours. It's a guaranteed winner as well. Someone will win the lot, so text yes to 61025.
Win £275,000. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025. Whatever he is, do you think Andy Halliday's tuned in just hoping that his goal gets spoken about? Because if he was here, then it's all we would be speaking about.
Listen, it would dominate the 2 hours of the show.
But anyway, yeah, feel free to call in, Andrew. The line's open to you, the same as it is to everyone else, including Bernie in Canvas Lang. How are you, Bernie?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
What you got for us tonight? What made you call?
Well, I was listening to, I think it was your previous caller, but one, I think it was the guy from Erskine, call on regarding the Nicholas Kuhn incident. They said he watched the football in different matches at the weekend, but he clearly didn't watch the Aberdeen game, because the Aberdeen goal scorer who scored the winner did the exact same thing as Nicholas Kuhn did, and guess what? He never got booked either. So with that, on top of what Gordon was saying about at the St Mirren game, it clearly is, that's the consistent rule.
People don't really care for consistency when it involves St Mirren or Aberdeen though, Roger. That is our problem here. Like, I've always said, I'm acutely aware it's our currency on jokes like this, and it kind of keeps us going. But these things genuinely only become an issue when it involves Celtic or Rangers.
Yeah, and listen, that's why we're here. You had a great debate, I think it was about 3.5 minutes long, with Billy last week, last Monday, over a rule that had changed in the summer, if you remember. And this is a rule.
Encroachment.
Yeah,
no, that was good.
This is a rule that's changed as well. In the past, you get booked for going into the crowd. Now it's at the discretion of the referee.
Again, to be fair, even at that, I wonder if we're, you know, it's not like it's just suddenly changed in the summer and everyone's unaware of it. You know, we have and always will have enough genuine controversies and drama, I think, without needing to make too much of those ones.
Yeah, and at the risk of sounding sympathetic to Nicholas Kuhn, Celtic had a very long week. They'd gone to Perth, they had gone to Dortmund. You may have heard it didn't go very well in Dortmund. They'd come back, they'd gone all the way to Dingwall for a 12 noon kickoff. Now, when we say Celtic have done that, Celtic fans have done that as well. There'll be a lot of Celtic fans who were in Dingwall yesterday who had been in Dortmund. It's a big effort. They looked at one stage as if they might not win the game, and there was just an outpouring of relief, delight, euphoria, whatever you want to say.
Honestly, I can't take you seriously because on the live stream, I know Marvin is bigger than you, right? What is wrong with your chair?
You trying to fix it at the start? The chair frantically.
I just gave up at the start, Marvin. I actually thought when Gordon put me on to -2, I thought it was -2 inches in this seat.
I'm sure whatever you were saying was great, but I just glanced up at the screen and you look like.
I know. We're sitting here like the two Ronnies, Justin.
Ridiculous. I know Marvin's a big laddie, as they say, but sort that out.
Get Chairman John in here. Chairman John, Producer John, to try and fix this seat.
Ante Palaversa is the player Bernie speaks about. Aberdeen ran into. Yeah, like.
Yeah. Listen, we can. Yeah, exactly. We don't want to see players, but listen, they're scoring goals. It's causing no harm. They're going towards everyone.
To be fair, though, you know what's good? At some point, somebody will be, because they'll have judged to have gone too far, stayed in too long, caused some sort of scene, and they will, and then we'll get the phone calls that night as well to say.
What was the one in England recently when the ball boy was hurt? Was it the West Ham game? West Ham scored.
And the advertising board fell down.
Yeah, went into the crowd. Didn't the advertising board came down and landed in the ball boy, and Jared Bowen had to get the ball boy out to his safety. If anyone is at risk of danger at a moment like that, then I think that's when cards will come out, not for the celebration that Nicholas Coon had yesterday.
We're nearly at that, overanalyzing this situation, I think, but we can get out just in time. Bernie, what about the game itself then? I take it you enjoyed the goal before the debate about the booking, and
I thought Alistair Johnson is a man of the match performance. There was a bit of luck involved in his goal, but you can see it clearly that he deliberately misdirected it back into the goalie, you know, and then his pass was wide. It's a blind pass to the fucking. But very much enjoyed that goal. I would say that, I mean, you know, we see this, but at half time, and I'm sure a lot of Celtic fans did, I'd text my brother saying, you need to take Hatate and Engels off and put Luke McEwen and Bernardo on, because it used to be the same way we went up to Inverness. I don't know, especially in the games. You need to go and win the battle in the middle of the field. And to be fair, they two boys are my boys. They don't get that you need to battle there. Luke McCowan, that's what he's used to. You know, he came on and got himself involved, got into the mix. Bernardo's turned out to be a mere, not quite an enforcer, but mere stronger player than I thought he was last season. And I think they two made a big difference in the middle of the park. And when we started winning the battle in the middle of the park, then we got to play a football, which is often the case.
Celtic obviously have set the bar high, Marvin, so it wouldn't have been at that level yesterday. Is it just inevitable? Do you just take it? Was there a particular reason? You know, Bernie's identified some personnel issues he thinks were there.
Yeah, I also think there's a hangover from the Dortmund game. You know, I know the fans have came on and spoken about it, and the manager said that there won't be, but as a player, you know, that would have hit them hard, because they had made the perfect start in pre-season, as we spoke about, you know, beating Chelsea and Manchester City. Started the season extremely well, going to the first Champions League game, you know, win the game 5-1. So, you know, to lose to Dortmund, and not only to lose to them, but to be kind of blown away by them, that would have affected the players, there's no doubt about it. And I thought you saw a hangover in that in terms of the start of the Ross County game. The whole reason you have a squad is they freshen it up, as Bernie says there, and, you know, the players came on and impacted. I thought Kyogo as well coming on, I think, you know, started to stretch the game and gave them a little bit more up front than Adameda did. I think he was coming too deep too often. But yeah, listen, you're not going to play, you know, perfectly well in every single game. The most important thing is getting those 3 points.
Thank you to Bernie. What about Sean then? How are you feeling about Celtic at the moment, Sean?
I'm feeling fantastic at the moment, Gordon. How's the final doing tonight?
Yep,
good, mate.
Thank you.
It's just a couple of points I'm going to make first to Roger, especially. Roger's usually good at his punditry. I'm just wanting to know what he feels about Celtic doing the Invincibles this year.
75 minutes yesterday, I wasn't so sure, I have to say, Sean, but listen, it's been done before. If you'd asked me this when it hadn't been done before, I would have said, don't be so ridiculous. You couldn't rule it out. They are a very strong squad. The substitutes, as the boys were saying, made a big impact. I agreed with Bernie, the previous caller, about Bernardo. He looks a more complete midfield player than he did last season. I don't know whether he was sort of, because he was low, and whether he thought he was in the shadow of McGregor, Hatate and O'Reilly last season, but he's impressed me this season when he's come in. There's great strength in every area. You know, you look yesterday, there's no Cameron Carter-Vickers again, but there's a £6 million replacement. There's no Greg Taylor yesterday, but there's a Barcelona player coming in as a replacement. When it doesn't work yesterday for Engels and Hatate, there's Bernardo and McCowan to come on. When it doesn't work for either, there's Kyogo to come on. There's replacements in wide areas. You know, Forrest comes on. So it's a very, very strong Celtic squad. Well, it'll be seven games into the league season. It's very early to talk about an invincible season.
Are we to assume that you think they can or will, Sean, and that's why you're asking the question?
I think we do, because when I'm looking at the moment, it's been a couple of games this year that we've, I would like to say, grinding out results, but we've played to the final whistle and we've done the damage. But the other point I was going to make as well, do you think, Roger, do you think that we should have signed another striker in the summer?
It's funny. When it was only Kyogo, before Adam Eder signed, I'd said in the show a few times, Sean, Celtic will sign two strikers. Brendan had spoken about it before, that he wanted three strikers. And if you remember, there was a game before Eder signed, it was Kyogo injured and missed out, and Maida played up top and was absolutely outstanding.
And then Brendan Rodgers said he would become the third choice.
And then Brendan said, oh, I don't need to sign anybody. This guy's back up front again. Any time we play him up front, he's brilliant. So that probably ruled out. So if anything was to happen to Eder or Kyogo, Maida would come in. I actually spoke to Dyson on Friday. I think he's at 6 goals so far this season. The best he's ever got for Celtic's 11. And, you know, the form he's in, I think he's already targeting a best ever season for Celtic. And if he can score those goals and take the heat off Kyogo and Eder, then it'll be a major bonus for Celtic.
This is the type of place where questions about can the invincible season be done are allowed on the 7th of October, Marvin. I feel like that's what we were made for. I wonder if you see yesterday as proof that it can be done because Celtic win when they're not at their best and so on, or of proof that just how delicate things can be, where you don't do much wrong, you've got all the ball, but all of a sudden it hits a defender on the arm, it's a penalty, and you might not always get the two goals you need to win the game. Which one do you go for?
I think I lean on the side of more of like they can grind it out, to use Sean's words.
Yeah.
You know, that they don't have to be at their complete best and they can bring players off the bench to impact it, and they can still go and win games, especially, as I said, after that difficult European night. Now, I don't think I can overestimate how much that I believe that would have affected them, and they've still gone on to beat Ross County. It's far too early, though, to be speaking about, you know, being invincibles. It's so early on in the season. Anything can happen. You know, you don't want players to get injured, but that could happen. You know, you could have a massive European night and a real difficult fixture after it. So, yeah, I think it's too early to speak of that.
Thank you very much to Sean. It's that time of the night for us already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. It's a new week. Well done to the listeners who won comfortably last week, embarrassed the pundits, put them to bed early on, and that's what we like to see. Will Roger Hanna's -2 get another run out tonight like it did last week?
Yeah. Hopefully.
Or will it be Marvin Bartley, who definitely is not on minus anything? 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Monday night with Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley. Looking back on all the weekend's big talking points, if you think we're missing any, well, put us in our place, please. 01419511025. Looking at the late shift, the night shift it almost was for Marvin Bartley at Ibrox last night. What did you make of it? We had Yanis Hadji back assisting, getting sent off. Cherney with two goals after some difficulties recently. Get your thoughts in there. Dingwall prior to that, Celtic just keep winning. Not as easy this time. Liam Scales handball, Kasper Schmeichel off his line, Nicholas Kuhn winner, went towards the stand. Should he have been booked? That's been the theme of some of the calls in the first half. If you want to move on, Aberdeen fans, you must be flying. How are you feeling about your prospects of keeping this up? Motherwell, great win for you. Kelly, first win of the season. Let's do the lot if we can. 01419511025. But this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Good on the listeners last week. Nothing better than seeing these hopeless pundits put in their place. It was a 3-2 win. You did your bit. you won on the Monday.
Yeah.
Even with your minus two handicap, you won on Monday. You and Hugh Keevans, the clever pundits, basically, were the winners last week.
I'll take that.
And the rest lost. So there we go. Let's see what we've got tonight. I think it's Terry on the line. How are you, Terry?
How you doing, guys? All good?
All good. Yeah, here, Terry. Do you fancy a crack at this old minus two carry on with Roger Hanna?
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind a wee crack. I don't mind a wee shot about my big man either. He's probably good for a donut.
We'll see. Heads, it will be Roger Hanna minus two. You've moved seat. Just to clarify, Roger Hanna's in the head seat. Okay, he's in Andy Halliday's Monday seat.
Okay,
tails for Marvin Bartley. Oh no, it's tails.
Oh.
Marvin up against Terry in the south side. So let's give Marvin something else.
Good luck, Terry.
In his ear.
Just for it, Marv.
So it's just you and I, Terry. Sort of, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. If you would rather pass than guess, you can do that as well, okay?
Okay.
Let's go. 30 seconds going on to your clock, Terry. And your time starts now. How many players were sent off in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
Two.
Barry Robson, Charlie Miller and Duncan Ferguson all played for which club?
Dundee United.
Who's the Celtic women's manager?
Pass.
In what Croatian city will Scotland face Croatia?
Dubrovnik.
Who scored Kilmarnock's winner against Dundee?
Bobby Wales.
True or false, on loan Rangers player Adam Devine is the grandson of Scottish musician Sidney Devine?
False.
Which team is the only unbeaten side in the Scottish Championship?
Falkirk.
Okay.
Right.
Let's bring him back. Marvin Bartley, can you hear us?
Yep.
You ready?
Yep.
Same set of questions. You're 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. How many players were sent off in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
Four.
Barry Robson, Charlie Miller and Duncan Ferguson all played for which club?
Aberdeen.
Who is the Celtic women's manager?
Elena Saduku or something like that.
In which Croatian city will Scotland face Croatia?
Pass.
Who scored Killie's winner against Dundee?
Kennedy.
True or false, Rangers player Adam Devine is the grandson of legendary Scottish musician Sidney Devine?
False.
Which team remained the only unbeaten side in the Championship?
Falkirk.
I cannot believe you just did that. Have you forgotten? Last weekend, David Martindale will be phoning you straight away.
Love it.
Oh. I cannot believe this. Former Livingston assistant manager. That's one of the worst answers we've ever heard on Beat the Pundit.
You'll be in the back of the white transit.
Hopefully they get you instead of me.
Falkirk famously lost last week.
Oh, of course they did.
Rubbish. Anyway,
of course they did.
Terry had made the same mistake. For
what
it's worth.
Oh, Terry, it happens.
No, I fell for it as well, Marv. Don't worry about it.
It happens, buddy.
Let's go through them. How many players were sent off in the Premiership at the weekend? Quite a lot this weekend. Terry went two. It is four. Marvin Bartley got it right. Scylla, Triantis, Grant and Hadji. Here's one for you. Would you have ever imagined all four of them correct? Out of those four red cards?
Grant and Hadji.
Any complaints? No. Yeah, all four, right? Well, it's not like you to agree on
well
that, okay. Barry Robson.
Willie Collins, pal here.
No, it's
Barry Robson, Charlie Miller. Well, I mean, Triantis had to go, that's for sure.
Oh, I bet.
Barry Robson, Charlie Miller, Duncan Ferguson all played for Dundee United.
Mm.
One each. Terry got that right.
Oh, nice.
Well, that's easy. It's just you came here in 2015.
Yeah, that's pretty me.
To everyone else, that's easy. How harsh do I want to be on Marvin Bartley?
No, because I couldn't pronounce her last name.
No, you've got to get the right name, man. You've got to get the right name.
Well, her first name's correct.
Elena, I mean, you confused her for the popular number.
Sudoku.
game that people play to pass time on aeroplanes.
That's how I pronounce it.
Sudoku, big mother, Gordon, do you know behalf of me?
Correct.
Sudoku.
Oh, come on.
But you called it that other thing, that Japanese game or whatever it is.
I just thought that was their name.
Nah, not for me. I think because
I should have gave her first name then.
Oh, that wouldn't have worked.
Why?
I think because the word that you gave me is actually something else entirely. I think I'm going to take it away.
What do you mean?
Good man, Gordon. Good sportsmanship
there. Terry, leave me alone.
Zagreb is where Scotland will play Croatia. None of you got it. Matty Kennedy scored the winner for Kilmarnock against Dundee. Marvin Bartley gets it. You both went false, didn't you, on Adam Devine, the grandson of Sidney Devine? Did you both go false? It's true.
True.
Sure definitely is. True. None of you got it.
You'll be a fan of Sidney.
Oh yeah.
Tiny bubbles.
Sidders.
Oh, yes. Legend.
Yeah?
Gordon
yeah.
DL's favourite.
Oh. Really? Mm-hmm. Sat on the way home.
The only unbeaten side in the championship. Terrible from you. You still got the Livingston tracksuit, by the way.
Do you know what? I actually had the shorts on today doing some housework. I still have it.
I just wonder if you'd kept it, how that works. Because, you know, Mark
Wilson. What, the stuff?
You never hear the story about Mark
was
Wilson.
The charity shop.
put his breaking stuff into the charity shop. Some guy went and bought it. Anyway, I'm afraid, Terry, I tried my best, but it was a 2-1 win.
It's a shame by you and Cameron, there was no one had to get a boy anyway.
Well, exactly. But that, the problem is we now have none left. So that's the issue. Like anyway. That. Well done, Terry. You take care.
Good guys. Cheers.
Take care, buddy.
Gordon, I've got something of a beat the pundit confession for you.
Oh.
I was at a social function on Saturday night and I met a young Rangers fan by the name of Stuart McLean who said he would beat me at beat the pundit.
You didn't play him there at the event, did you?
Well, I was sort of. I was pushed into doing this. I didn't have my minus two. He wanted to do it fair and square.
This is shit.
There's no way he won.
No. Someone at the function went onto the Super Scoreboard Twitter feed and went back a few months and found a random Beat the Pundit list of questions. You won't be surprised to know it was a night that Gordon DL lost.
Shock.
So I was sort of, not bullied, I was encouraged into doing this. We drew. We then had to go to a tie break, and I lost the tie break.
Wow!
So congratulations, Stuart. You thoroughly deserved it.
On a level start,
we went right through the questions. We both got one wrong. We both got the same one wrong, and it went to a tie break. Well, I'll give you a tie break question.
Well,
hold
on a minute, though. If Stuart's got that much about him, why is he not going to phone in?
I presume he will.
Come on, Stuart.
Just on a Monday,
I would encourage him to phone in. The tie break question, who's the last Scot to win the Champions League?
Oh, how's that a tie breaker? What do you mean? That can't be a tie breaker.
Well, no. It's just a random question. Somebody came up with a question because they couldn't, you know, right. We obviously don't have a list of...
Billy Gilmore.
It was.
So I'm better than Roger Hannon, no. Basically. We got a medal.
I said Andy Roberts.
Yeah, it was
Billy Gilmore, 2021 Chelsea.
Those questions are tricky because he got a medal, but then...
But, well, he got a medal.
I know, but it depends because sometimes you would only judge it as having played in the final. Anyway, doesn't matter. So that means I'm better than you and...
Yes. Sure, got it.
Imagine trying to enjoy your Saturday night out at some social function. You turn round... Not you.
Everyone else.
Roger Hannon, some guy going head to head at Beat the Pundit in the corner.
You play the music?
No, it's not sure. Well, not that sad.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I've got time for that.
01419511025. I can see some Aberdeen fans have had a go on the phone, so we'll get to that because I want to speak about your team as well for sure. Anything else that you think we're missing, please give us a call if we can before we disappear around 8 o'clock. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers. I don't think we've done that, have we? Reflecting on the game yesterday in Dingwall. A lot's been said about it already, but we've not heard from the Celtic manager. He's praising the resilience of his side coming from behind to beat Ross County.
Well, the thing I said on the aftermath of the midweek game, that I've got absolutely 100% confidence in the resilience of this team. And resilience, whatever way you dress it up, that's all about grit and determination and fight. And we have that in bucket loads. Today we had to show that, and the players did that. So it's been a really, really busy spell for us. You know, we had 7 games now over the course of 3 competitions in 23 days, and the players have won 6 of those, and the loss was against the Champions League finalists. So I tip my hat to them. It's been a really, really good period for us, and we'll learn from again today, because the new guys coming in will see that there's no easy game, and you can't look for it either. You've got to do the work, and over the course of 90 minutes we did the work and got the result.
01419511025, that is the number that you need. Nicholas Coons fairly having a contribution this season, isn't he?
He's been brilliant. He really, really has. I think you spoke about it last week on the show, and you speak about not writing players off too early, because many Celtic fans last season did, but this season he has really taken, you know, game by the scruff of the neck on so many occasions, whether he starts, whether he comes on a sub. He's been absolutely brilliant, breathtaking for them, if I'm honest.
Who's a foreign journalist we had on that night? Remember on the show the night Nicholas Coons signed?
That's right, he wasn't convinced, was he?
He was far from convinced. We need to find him again and bring him back on.
Yeah, people sporadically tweet about that when they see Nicholas Coons do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It only has happened twice, because usually...
Yeah, the first one was Patrick Klamala, wasn't it?
And he was right.
Yeah.
He was bang on, to be fair. I remember he said, I don't know why Celtic are signing this guy. And all everyone was going, that's terrible, they've written this guy off. And to be fair,
but right,
Nicholas Kuhn is proving the doubters wrong for sure. So James is a Celtic fan. How are you, James? Hi James, can you hear us? Hello James. He's there somewhere, I think. I can see him on the line. Let's try and move his line or something, I don't know. And we'll try and get James lined up for us in just a second. One last chance for now. James, can you hear us? No, we'll get him in just a second. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers in the meantime, talking about Celtic scoring late goals.
It's a Celtic tradition, isn't it? It's how the game is played at this club. If you look over the course of this week, we had thousands of fans turn up in Dortmund and they've seen what they've seen, which wasn't great, but they give us a great, still great support at the end of the game. And now they're having to come up here for 12 o'clock kickoff. So the very least you can do is run your heart out right to the very end. And that's what this club's about. It's the fabric of this club. You keep going to the end.
James, I think, was there. Now he's not. He's leading me on a merry dance, I have to say. I think that's just something that comes with being a good team, Roger, the dominant team in any league, whether it's specifically Celtic or not. You need to get, as a Ross County fan, you could have been sitting there 1-0 up in the 89th minute yesterday and not be fully confident that you're going to win the game.
Of course, it happens all the time. You know, back to the Bundesliga last season, how many goals did Leverkusen get 90 plus minutes to win games and they ultimately won the league? I think Barcelona were at it at the weekend with late goals. The big teams do it. They do it time and time again. They come from behind. They eke out results when you don't think they're going to get them, sometimes when they don't deserve them. That's the mark of good teams and the mark of champions, really.
What are you saying about Alistair Johnson's goal? Just sheer, pure luck? Or is there a knowing flick of the thigh to try and direct it in? He seems to react in some sort of small way, does he not?
Yeah, ball in the back of the net, you're always going to react. But I think it's luck. 90% luck, I would say, definitely. But I agree with what Roger's saying. They wear you down, Celtic, definitely. You know, mentally and physically, when they're moving the ball, and you know, even when you're bringing on the substitutes, even if you're winning against them, you think, wow, I have to deal with these players now. They're fresh-legged. And as Brendan said, the players don't stop. You know, when you've got good players that are willing to work extremely hard, often on the ball, you know, that's a sign of a real good team. And Celtic are showing that in abundance.
We had a bit of a debate in the early part of the show about Nicholas Kuhn and should he have been booked for his celebration. I don't detect, again, here to be proved wrong, many complaints about Liam Scales' handball. Are we now in a stage, Roger, with Willie Collum coming here and things being explained? We know a bit more what to look out for, and that's just getting given. It's far away, it's a very high hand, all that sort of stuff.
That's a handball. And I think Liam Scales knew, you know, as soon as the whistle went and the ref was headed for that pitch side monitor, Liam Scales knew what was happening. It was a penalty kick.
Yeah, total agreement. You know, as soon as you see the referee getting pulled across and you're the player who's committed that foul, he would have known. His hand was far too far out. And, you know, the referees, they've got it right.
And don't see it that much. We actually, you're right, we had a brilliant debate, a really enjoyable one about encroachment last week and when penalties can't be retaken. We don't see them retaken too often. This was for Kasper Schmeichel off his line. Again, I mean, the beauty of that is you're kind of, it's almost black and white. I know there'll be one where you might look and it's an inch here or there, but he was pretty obviously off, wasn't he? And you would hope that they get picked up.
Yeah, no, they were right. They were right to pick it up. I know there was an incident in the Championship actually with Morton last week, and I think it was a double hit from the taker.
Yeah.
So that they've actually spoken about in terms of referees, like making sure that the linesman's checking one in terms of along the line with the goalkeeper, and then the referee's checking the taker, because I think the referee in that game was looking at the goalkeeper as well, hence why he missed a double take. So it's something they would have looked at. All the referees would have been told about it. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that, you know, Kasper Schmeichel has been pulled up with coming off the line.
That was a United. That was a clear goal.
I didn't want to say it was against. Yeah, it was a United.
Jamie's on the line. How are you, Jamie?
Not bad, Gordon. How are you doing?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
What I'm thinking is that one after coming back from Dortmund, that was like world class. I decided the title, my man.
Wow.
That's a title for Celtic. What? That's a title right there.
Over already after yesterday.
It's over. It's done. We'll do Aberdeen in a couple of weeks.
I don't like to be negative, Jamie, right? I try my best, but look, can we be serious about world class? A 2-1 win in Dingwall, well done to Celtic and the resilience, and it was a great goal from Nicholas Kuhn and so on. World class.
It was no world class, but it was class. It was a good one. After
that's a perfectly good. To be fair, that is a perfectly good response. You just bumped the world. It was class. Like, I actually now can't argue with that. So fair play to Jamie. Like I said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be shooting it all down. But I just mean in a week where if we're talking about the haves and the have nots and what you're expected to do, you take it. And you. But I don't know if it's a sign that the title is over on the 7th of October. Many people thought it was a one horse race anyway.
Yeah, no, listen, it's a very, very good win because of the way the circumstances, you know, the game, the way it panned out, you know, the kind of the performance that, you know, at times for Celtic, and they had to use the substitutes and the impact they came on and made. And listen, as I said earlier, when you get to the end of the season, you know, you don't look at, you know, back at Dingwall and say, oh, you know, it wasn't the best of performances, it's 3 points. You know, they all matter exactly the same.
Well, they still talk about that Anthony Ralston one in Dingwall, don't they?
And that was when the fans spilled over and the player celebrated with them. Another one.
I think so.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it'll be an important win, definitely. Is the title over? No. You know, Aberdeen are firmly there. You know, I'm sure Rangers will do their utmost to close the gap as well. But, you know, in terms of, you know, heading in the right direction, definitely doing that, you know, 100% record.
I think it was important. I'm not going to say it was world class. It was important because off the back of Dortmund, if Celtic had gone into this 2 week international break, having lost 7 in Dortmund, dropped points at Dingwall.
Oh, it would feel like a crisis.
Aberdeen would have gone above them later in the day. Rangers would have gone to either 2 or 3 points behind them. There's suddenly question marks being asked over the next fortnight before Aberdeen come to Celtic Park. So I think it was huge that Nicholas Coon goal.
Jamie, how important has he been
this season? 3 points is a mess wheeled up this season. 3 points and one loss. And I can't even see that happening, to be honest. Maybe a drop.
Jamie, hold on here. We've gone from world class to class. We've gone from invincible to dropping 3 points.
The most. We'll no doubt five.
I love you saying Rangers will win the title by 7:30, Jamie. Anyway.
No chance, Rob.
Thank you very much to Jamie in Postle Park on 01419511025. We are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB, and more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna are about to tackle tonight's full-time teaser. So thank you to Luke McSwiggan for sending it in. And if you want a piece of the action, if you want to come up with a question, send it in and have it used on the show. You need to fire it over to fulltime@clyde1.com. I love the way the minds of our listeners work. They just take inspiration, turn it into a question, and it does us a good turn. So, citing Simo Valakari's appointment, Luke's mind just goes, okay, can you, for the other 11 clubs, name the last manager they had with a V in their name? It's genius in its simplicity. We won't dwell on it too long tonight because we've got a lot to get through. But just to keep you busy between now and the end of the show, after Simo Valakari's appointment for the 11 other clubs in the top flight, who was the last manager they had with a V in their name?
Giovanni van Bronckhorst.
Indeed.
Dr. Joseph Vingloss.
He's trying to think of every other Marvin that's ever been just to see if Joe Vingloss. Well done. Come on, Marv.
I've got nothing to.
Oh,
right,
the
now.
One you should really, really, really get. Come on.
The other 11 current. Mm-hmm. Are any of them actually in situ?
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, David Gray. Mm.
Bit of a boring one. But anyway, there we go. Okay, we can get back to it. fulltime@clyde1.com. If you want to email a question, that's a very simple concept, that one. It can be along those lines. It can be a bit more out there. Whatever you want, send them in to us and we'll take a look. Stuart is an Aberdeen fan. Stuart, how does that feel at the moment? That must be a good place to be.
Probably couldn't have imagined it after last season, although obviously Peter Leaven came in and got us on the way. So, evening, guys. My point is principally to Marvin. Would you like to revise your prediction that Aberdeen will finish in the bottom six, big man?
Yes, Stuart has kept receipts, and rightly so.
Stuart, do you know, after every single game this season, that Nicky Devlin has sent me some sort of gift or voice note or message, on multiple things. If he doesn't get me on WhatsApp, he sends it on Instagram, and then it, you know, he just doesn't stop. So
especially yesterday after he scored,
and he scored
he's
as well.
In the Scotland squad now, he's flying.
Oh no, that's the thing. He scored that goal. I'm not happy having that he meant it though. I'm saying he tried to tackle the ball, but listen, great finish from him. Fully deserved call up to the Scotland squad as well. No, listen, Aberdeen are going extremely well. I'm not going to take away my prediction because I'm going to say I'm playing my little bit of, you know, keeping them motivated.
Oh, he's taking care.
Now, listen, Stuart, you boys have been fantastic, and you know it's been brilliant to watch the games. And in all seriousness, you know, so good to see Nicky doing well as well. And hopefully, you can keep it going. You know, 7 wins out of 7 is no mean feat. In fact, it's absolutely brilliant. I know people have spoken about the teams that you've played against, but you have to beat who's in front of you. So, no, long may it continue.
The incredible thing is, Roger, we kind of scoffed at writing the title off or whatever, but I mean, Aberdeen are probably secure. I know everyone will think that anyway, but they will be top six now. Like, you couldn't take, you start the season like this, you've gone so far to actually arithmetically securing
them. 21 points out of 21. I was talking to my pal Christopher from Ayrshire this morning. He was pointing out that there's only been 21 points to compete for, and they're 19 ahead of Hearts as we speak. Don't take this the wrong way, Marvin. Hibs are honking. Oh. They might not catch Aberdeen either, I would suggest. Kilmarnock have given themselves a lot to do. St Mirren have given themselves a lot to do. Aberdeen, with no European football this season, with that feel-good factor of Jimmy Tilleen coming into the place, they will finish third. And I tipped Hearts as well, so don't feel bad.
Stuart, surely all this stuff about, you know, not playing the bigger teams, as true as it is, when you've got seven, you've got to really start moving past that stuff. I'm sure you and your fellow Aberdeen fans feel it's been a bit harsh.
Yeah, I mean, we played teams that finished in the top half of the league already. So we've beaten Kilmarnock, right? We've beaten Dundee, beaten Hearts. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, the test is going to be Celtic and Rangers. That's it, right? So, you know, we just have to wait and see. I mean, we're going to get beat at some point, right? I can't see this going on forever. But Roger's point's right. I think not having the pressure of Europe is helping, and also we've got real strength and depth in the squad. If you look at the game yesterday, you know, he brings on Palaversa and Duke. I mean, Duke was in the wilderness for a few months, and as I agree with Marvin, you know, he's come back, he looks sharp and fit. And Palaversa, you know, was signed for $6-7 million by Man City years ago, so he's obviously a good player. So I think we're in a good space, I think we can get something against Celtic. I think he maybe needs to change the team. I would start Palaversa in midfield, but we'll see what happens.
See, the thing about yesterday, this is why we sometimes need to move beyond just what it looks like on paper. I was joking at the start, obviously, a home game against the bottom team in the league. But if you watch the Hearts were good, and Hearts do still have, you know, decent players. So this notion that, you know, Aberdeen are not really facing anyone, I think 7 wins in a row for any team speaks for itself. But then once you dig a bit deeper, Hearts were good yesterday, so it's not like it was easy to overcome that.
That was a tough game, there's no doubt about it. As you said, I know Hearts are struggling this season, but they have very, very good players, you know, within that squad and within that team. So, you know, for Aberdeen to win that game, and I think in the fashion they won it as well, we're speaking about Celtic, you know, winning their game, I think the way that Aberdeen did it, I think that shows the confidence that the players have, and they're not stopping, and they're continuing to, you know, believe in themselves that they can keep on winning. And why not? You know, before yesterday they had won 6 out of 6, they made it 7 out of 7. The confidence would be extremely high, as Stuart said, going into that Celtic game. Stuart, has there been a change in the style of play there at all, or is it just, you know, just different players?
Oh no, I mean, it's night and day. I mean, if you look at the winner, I mean, they just weren't giving up. They wanted to get the winner and pushing the high press. I mean, you know, Jimmy said it will be three seasons or 3 years he needs to get where he wants to be. But it's pretty evident from the games that we've played that's the way we play. We've got a clear identity in terms of how we want to play with the press. And it's exciting. I mean, the football's, some of the goals we've scored this season have been brilliant. So, yeah, bring it on.
Can you split the big two from Glasgow, Stuart? That's what everybody keeps asking.
If we steer clear of serious injuries, I mean, obviously, you know, big Papi Gay getting out injured was a bit of a blow because he's been phenomenal.
But yeah, we need to see clear injuries. Although we've got, I think we've got a good squad. You know, if you lose like Shinny and even Nielsen, who's come in and done a great job just kind of sitting in front of the defence, that'll be the key factor. Because, you know, outside the Old Firm, the teams don't really have as much strength and depth as them to handle injuries. So that's the key factor for me.
Just love that. Just as a spectacle, just for a brief moment to look at the impact for the game overall. And 5 goals yesterday, over 19,000 at Pittodrie. Yeah, Roger, we saw a lot more of Hearts, and it's just brilliant to see the atmosphere. You get a late winner, it looked like a real great spectacle.
Yeah, terrific game of football. Aberdeen found another way to win a game, you know, coming from behind at 2-1. You know, when they go 2-1 down, you think, well, maybe the bubble's going to burst, but they come straight back into it. Nicky got his goal, as you say. There was a ridiculous George Grant sending off. Don't know what he was thinking about the challenge in Duke. And they kept going, and they kept going, and Palaversa off the bench got his goal.
Hearts weren't happy, and they felt that in the build-up to the... Was it the second? Yeah, it would have been the second goal. That the ball was moving when Aberdeen took the free kick. Liam Fox referenced it as well. Have they got a case?
Yeah, listen, it is frustrating. You know, if the ball is moving and the free kick's taken, that, you know, leads to something happening in the game, whether it's a goal or, you know, second booking or whatever else. But, you know, you have to just deal with it. You know, I understand if the ball was moving and then they hit it straight into the goal from like a direct free kick, but there's more than enough, you know, time, and there's more than enough play that happens that, you know, they should defend it better. But yeah, it's frustrating from Liam Fox's point of view, but from Aberdeen's point of view, you don't care.
And Roger, we're all still, even though it feels like it's been around forever, we're still all learning about VAR. And I think that maybe one of the first times it's come up over the weekend, I'm not sure how widely known this was, that across the world, IFAB, the global use of VAR, does not get involved in that. So although it leads to a goal, that's what's considered like the restart of play. And VAR, similarly, and I think this might surprise people, Andy Halliday's goal that we're speaking about, the long throw, if that had been a foul throw that comes in and Halliday scored, the goal would still stand. VAR wouldn't rule that out. That's classed as like the restart of play. I don't know. Will we ever see another example of that?
See, if you shut your eyes, it's like having Willie Collum in the studio. It's fabulous. All the rules explained inside 2 hours on a Monday.
But it is important though, right? Because I keep hearing it yesterday. I keep going, why did VAR not look at it?
Know,
well,
you know something? People think VAR is an all-seeing, all-fixing solution to the ills of Scottish football. But it's actually, it's only a very small proportion of the decisions in a game that are VAR reviewable, if that's a word. You know, you know better than me, Gordon, but, you know, there was a lot of second bookings at the weekend. Mo Salah, Nectar Triantis, George Grant. You know, if those had been dodgy second bookings, VAR couldn't have saved
Scott
them.
Tanzer last week.
Scott Tanzer last week, yeah.
Although, maybe that will change in the future, because I think that is a frustrating one.
Oh, are you saying this or is Willie saying this?
Yeah.
Is this coming from... See, you don't know.
Well, no, this would need to come from... This would need to come from the top of the game. This
Well, Willie are at the top.
Oh, in the world.
They were running IFAB before you know it.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if there's another VAR review around the corner for you. That's what you've got to look forward to. Couldn't possibly give it away.
Another show? Another?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, he said they
Gordon Willie's IFAB weekly.
Well, he said they would look back at more decisions.
Oh, G and W, nice.
I'm going to deliberately fall out with him this time, I think.
Well, you can fall out with Willie. Ah, just a lovely man.
Just a Aberdeen fan as well, Martin. Same question to you that we rounded off the previous call with. Can you finish above third? Are people when will that belief creep in if it's not already? Martin, what do you think?
I'm going to be... How you doing, guys? All right? Mate.
Good, thanks. Good.
Hi, Martin.
I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different for Stuart and Air. I think we will split the Old Firm.
Ooh.
I think we will. I think Jimmy Tilleen is building... I think Jimmy Tilleen is building something special. Yes, it's a 3 to 4 year plan in transition. But the way the team are playing now, and people are saying we've not played anybody, but St Mirren, Dundee, Kilmarnock, Hibs and Motherwell finished top of us last season. That alone is progression for me.
Just to clarify, Martin, who's finishing above you and who's finishing below you?
The older... Celtic will win the league, Roger. Celtic will win the league. They're miles clear. I don't care what anybody says. I'm no daft enough to come on national radio and say we're going to win the league. Celtic have got an abundance of talent. Two players in every position. They are miles clear. But what I watched last night at Ibrox was like watching paint dry. And I've no fear of Rangers. No fear. Because we went to Ibrox under Scott Brown as captain and demolished them and beat them three or four times. This is a better team. Palaversa, Brooks back. He's a brand new player. Fantastic yesterday. We've got Morris on this side, backed up. We've got Malloy, Nielsen, Keskinen. Well, we've had a chat, Roger, about Keskinen and Scott Nisbet. I just think this is the season for to split the old firm. Why be frightened? Jimmy Tilleen and the plus fact for me is keeping Peter Leaven for last season. That is the biggest plus, because he knows the players and he's the assistant Jimmy Tilleen, and they're doing remarkable. And I'm loving the football. Loving the football.
I'd be interested to hear from you Rangers fans on that. Martin says he doesn't fear you and thinks Aberdeen will finish above you. Do you fear Aberdeen? I wonder. In return, give us a call and let us know. There's a lot to like about the team. Martin's run through a number of them. You mentioned Nicky Devlin being in the squad. Reports tonight, I will stress that it's not confirmed yet, but looks like maybe Jack McKenzie could be in the Scotland squad, because Greg Taylor's going to pull out injured. And that would be another feather in Jack McKenzie's cap. Did you see his flick yesterday?
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Incredible, absolutely brilliant. Wasn't
it? Did the goalie throw it or kick it out? Yeah, he zinged it out.
He zinged it.
It's the old sort of, you know, say Zidane, but you know what I mean? He does the kind of.
Just getting him into the squad.
And flicks it up the line. But you know, even players like that who are not going to catch the headlines have been really good, haven't they?
Well, yeah. And listen, McKenzie's been good for two or three seasons. I remember speaking to Willie Miller, maybe the tail end of last season, about McKenzie. And if Willie Miller, Aberdeen's greatest ever defender, says he quite likes a look at Jack McKenzie and he's really, really improved, then that's good enough for me. I think Josh Doig's been in previous squads, but a bit like Conor Barron and Max Johnson, who dropped down to the 21s, I think Steve Clark wants Doig to stay there. It's a huge doubleheader for Scott Gemmell's 21s. I think it's Belgium and Kazakhstan. If the results go our way, the under-21s can get to the Euros for the first time. So I think Steve Clark wants to leave a body of experience with Scott Gemmell for those games. And the next cab off the rank, if you like, in terms of left backs, is Jack McKenzie, and he deserves his call-up.
Okay, thank you to Martin, who's feeling pretty good about Aberdeen's chances. I wonder how you Rangers fans feel about those claims. Give us a shout. Can you name, this is a tribute,
I have nothing,
a tribute to Simo Vallecari, the new St Johnstone manager. Luke sent a question in to ask if you can name the last manager for all the other Premiership clubs who had a V in their name. Joe Venglos, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, David Gray.
What was Stephen Naismith?
Yes.
Arts. I was going to ask Martin, inspired me there because he mentioned him. The caretakers count. Is Peter Leaven count at Aberdeen?
No.
Okay, okay. What about Steve Clark at Kilmarnock?
Yes. Marvin, come on.
What do you mean, come on? I used all my brain power on Beat the Pundit.
That doesn't say very much. Okay, we'll take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we're asking these two on the teaser. Of course, you play against them as well if you want, and the beauty of it is you submit the questions. So thank you to Luke, who sent this one in tonight on the email. He wants you, as a tribute to Simo Vallecari, Motherwell cult hero of the 90s and new St Johnstone manager, can you name the last manager for all the other Premiership teams who had a V in their name? Very simple. Joe Venglos, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Stephen Naismith, David Gray, Steve Clark. Some big names. Some big names indeed.
Craig Levein.
Craig Levein. He was the last Dundee United manager with a V. What about that revelation last week that Craig Levein once had his nipple pierced? Did you see that one coming?
It's the only thing at the weekend that disturbed me more than Marv's big white roll neck jersey.
Like, you know that way, like, you've sort of seen and heard it all here, and you, there are loads of wacky stories in Scottish football. It's the first time in a long time I've been rendered there. Speechless mm-hmm. by an yep. anecdote from yep.
in his 40s as well, he said.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. But fair, listen, fair play.
It's a shocker. I actually thought,
whatever floats your boat.
I was at St Mirren Saturday and I heard the boys discussing it on Saturday's show, and I thought it was a perfect moment for Hugh Keevans to say he had done the same.
Can you imagine?
He's not ready to admit it yet.
He's the only person just slightly less likely
yeah.
than Craig Levein. You strike me as a nipple piercing man, Marvin Bartley, no?
Not. Height needles, no chance.
Okay. Anyway, Roger, no? Anything you want to share?
Well, I can share an answer with you. That's as much as you're getting. Can you imagine?
What's more worrying is I was about to just say it there, and I'm just glad I didn't. It just really was close. We'll go one more then on the teaser.
Your man, Stevie Hamill.
Stevie Hamill. He's my man, necessarily, but yeah. I do love Stevie Hamill. Legend of the Fir Park scene. Anyway, Gillian is a Killie fan from Irvine. How are you, Gillian?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not bad.
Hey, Gillian.
How much relief was there in the first win at the weekend?
Oh my God, I think I lost my voice after the third goal went into the fair. Very sore throat, so in, to be fair, aye.
What a way to do it though, eh?
It was just amazing. So I've got my two boys here, and I've been a Killie fan for God, 40 years. My dad got me into it, and I've just finally got my boys. The last year or so, I've been taking them to all the games. The first away game is at St Mirren a couple of weeks ago. That was an eye-opener for them. But yeah.
What are your boys' names, Gillian?
Andrew and Callum.
Brilliant. Well, listen, Andrew and Callum, though, they do need to realise, Roger, that it's not always that dramatic. If it was Paisley a few weeks ago, it was VAR Central. And if it was the weekend there, it's 2-0 down with a few minutes to go and win 3-2. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
And the week before at home, 3-3 with Dundee United. Yeah.
You're spoiled them, Gillian.
Eh?
You're spoiling them. Tell them it's not always this exciting.
No, it is for a Kelly fan, to be fair. It is always dramatic.
If you say so, I'll take your word for it. What a way to do it, Marvin, though. The conspiracy theorists were starting to ask questions about whether Tony Dock and Derek McInnes just carved out draws constantly, but eventually we got a winner.
Yeah, what a turnaround it was. Absolutely brilliant, you know, seeing Bruce Anderson score a goal as well. You know, obviously made the move to Killie from Livingston in the summer.
You don't need to mention every player used to work with.
Credit
for Nicky Devlin. Credit for Bruce
Anderson.
No credit
for Bruce. Attacking players, never. But he's had a hard time of it. He's not played as many minutes as he wanted to. So, and to contribute was massive. But yeah, massive result for Kilmarnock.
He hit the post just before the goal as well, didn't he?
Yeah, but we don't count that goal. No. See, now you want to give him credit.
Just a signal of his intent.
So no, there's no surprise that Gillian enjoyed it. You know, there's probably nothing better. No better way of winning a game of football, you know, if you can get it in kind of in that manner. So no, hopefully Kilmarnock now pick up a little bit and start looking towards the top six, because I do like Derek McInnes as a manager.
You start to feel that apart from the obvious, you know, points in the board, Roger, it was needed, because I know no Killie fan was panicking, and I know Derek McInnes wasn't panicking, because they've been playing well, they've been in games, they've had Europe to deal with. But if you get to seven into that second international break and you've not won, there becomes a point where your aspirations for being up the table are damaged.
And you're coming out in the second half of October without a league win. Also, I think Derek would have been concerned, because they were 3-1 up against Indy United a week before and couldn't close it out. They did play well, even with 10 minutes in Mirren, and didn't get the win. You know, sometimes you just need a sort of something mad or a wee stroke of good fortune, and it wasn't a good stroke of good fortune, it was just something mad at Dens at the weekend. It's just one of those inexplicable things. Dundee just collapsed in those last, if you had in the added time, 8 or 9 minutes, and it was a breathtaking comeback by Kilmarnock. And it's a kind of result that can kick a team on.
Boys, what do you think? Still hoping for a high finish in the league?
That is the season just started for us. These young players, see Bobby Wales, David Watson, they're just game changers. These boys need to start. Gary McKay, Stephen, come on as well. He needs to get a start as well. But that's the season begun for us now. Bring it on.
There we go. I thought the boys were going to chip in from the back. Gillian
took over.
I don't mind that, Gillian. Thank you very much. We had a bit of, we mentioned in the Beat the Pundit, you know, 4 red cards. I heard about this Mo Salah one for Dundee in that game. I don't know, Tony Dock was very unhappy. I saw people describing it as like you know, really, really terrible decision. So I wonder what you two made of it. Well, the second booking incident.
Yeah, looking back at it, I can see why the booking's being given. You know, and I get Tony Dock's frustrated and other people have been frustrated as well at it, but I can see why the referee's made a decision he has. Like you, I heard a lot of people speaking about it and saying it was a shocker, and I want to see it for myself. To me, it didn't actually look like that much of a shocker, if I'm honest. So yeah, listen, it's unfortunate, but you know, I think when you do what he did, you're always running the risk of, you know, potentially getting that second yellow.
I think we should always accept, Roger, the frustration there can be for players nowadays and the way it's reffed is that maybe Mo Salah, he doesn't know where Matty Kennedy is and he's put his arm up and he was maybe nudged. It also just, whether it's right or wrong, it's just not that surprising when you see a yellow come out because an elbow has hit a face and there's blood. You know, I'm not saying it's because of the blood or anything.
It's in the category of, yeah, I can see why he gave it. So when I saw it, I actually heard Tony Docherty's quotes in the show before I had seen the incident at Dens, and I thought, well, that's what we're worth seeing. But I can fully understand the two bookings, by the way, not just the controversial, the two bookings, you can see why they're bookings.
Yeah. Seamless transition onto the other reds. I'm half joking with this and half not, Marvin. When you gave George Grant your howler because you thought his second tackle was unnecessary, I'm only half joking. You don't need to smile at me like that. There is a serious point in here. Triantis, if you're David Gray, your first booking's for diving. You really need a win, you're at home, and your second booking is for one of those kind of scissor tackles in a nothing area of the pitch with no real danger. Are you tearing... No, that doesn't work for David Gray. are you annoyed at his part in it?
Very, very annoyed, as you said. You know, Transis has been a really good player for Hibs as well. He said the first booking coming for diving, he actually made a tackle before that, and I think he was given a final warning from the referee. You know, to then go and do what he did, as you said, on Tony Watt, I think it was, there was no need for the tackle to be made. You're so frustrated as a manager because you can't control that. You know, you need 11 players on the pitch. You need to get a win. You're at home. You know, you're playing against a Motherwell team who you think you should be able to beat at Easter Road, and you go and do that.
If you think so. Mm-hmm. That's fourth place, Motherwell, I'll have you know. And again, to try and be serious about it, Roger, that is a really good win for Stuart Kettlewell's side. Yeah. It's been a great start to the season. Lennon Miller again contributing because there's an assist, but it's a first goal for Apostolos Stamatolopoulos, who they spent a lot of money on.
Quick free kick, took it really well. Quick throw in from Kofi Balmer. Andy took his goal very well. The team is doing very well at the minute. I always think if you're a sort of Motherwell or Kilmarnock or St Mirren, if you can go away from home and beat an Aberdeen or a Hibs or a Hearts, it always looks better. You know, you look at those games in paper, you think, really, you know, Hibs should win that. But Motherwell went there and they were the better team. And I gave Aston Oxborough my player of the week last week. I thought he excelled again for Motherwell. He's looking a very capable goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. And Balmer came in because Dan Casey was suspended. I don't think Dan Casey was really missed in that. You know, he might have a job getting back into that team.
We do need to set up the competition to see who's got the longest throw in the league. Is it Kofi Balmer? Jordan Obita gave it a go. Ross Graham at Dundee United. Gerald Taylor before he got injured at Hearts. That Kofi Balmer one the other day was like... Yeah, trajectory on it.
That's the thing, it's an arrow, like it's so accurate when they do maybe. It.
Right, we'll leave it there before we have asked Marvin about Kwan's marking on Andy Halliday for the winner. I think I might get him really upset.
Wait, before we go to that, Gordon, can I just quickly say hello to someone? Nicola Cox, she listens all the time. I was at the event with her yesterday and she said, if I don't give her a hello and you guys don't do the same, we're in trouble.
Nicola, great to have you listening. Sorry you had to spend your Sunday with this guy. Wow.
Was it your idea that he wore the jumper, Nicola?
Somebody must have put him up to it. That's the only explanation. Anyway, tribute to Simo Vallecari, named the last manager for all the other teams with a V in their name. Joseph Vingloss, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Stevie Naismith, David Gray, Stevie Hamill, Craig Levein, Steve Clark.
There's a couple here. I'm not sure whether Stephen with a V or Stephen with a PH. Stephen Ferguson at Ross County.
Yes.
And Steve Patterson at Aberdeen.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I don't even know who he is.
Dundee's is one of those ones.
Ivano Benetti.
Yeah. St Mirren's.
St Mirren, I can't even think
Stephen
of one.
Stephen Robinson's here. A PH, of course.
Yeah, he is.
So we're going way back. Way, way back. 1991, 92.
Come on, Roger.
Come on, Roger. Some guy beat the pundit in the pub the other night. Come on. Redeem yourself.
91, 92.
A very well-known figure in the Scottish game, I have to say.
So I must have gone down after Alex Smith and Jimmy Bond.
People in Paisley are shouting at their radio. I need to put you out of your misery, Roger.
Go for it.
Davy Hay.
David. Oh, come on now.
You're right, Roger. Come on.
We are back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Make sure you join us then and enjoy the rest of your Monday.